my face is already getting red.
Welcome back to another great episode of Comedians in Bed. And as always, this is a place where comedians can be comedians. Don't really know what that means, but it sounds like something that you should say on a podcast, man. We have one of my good friends on the podcast today, and what he's eating is not a reflection of who he's dating. But and the fact that he's red right now, lets me know.
I gotta take this off already. Holy shit. I wasn't expecting you to come in hot like that.
But no, man, I'm so glad that he's on this show. He's been on this show before. He's no guest. He's a resident here on the show. Please, everybody, give it up for the very funny and the very talented, very suave, sexy Josh Osani, everybody. you should get a back tattoo.
Yeah, I might. Yeah, I might. I'm planning on, because I've got this one already, and I'm planning on doing a sleeve along this arm, and then I don't really have plans past that. But maybe like a whole back tattoo as well.
You're just trying to be a rebel, okay? Yeah. Can you listen to like stuff on your phone through your headset?
I don't know. Probably it's just Bluetooth, so I'm sure it could connect to my phone.
Okay. I feel like truckers watch porn while they're in the truck and they have those big old headsets on.
Or maybe they just listen to it.
Who so just listens to it though? That's a little creepy.
Yeah, it couldn't be me. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't ever do that. That's crazy. Not even once. Not even that one time.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, bro. I just got back from work. And you know, it is what it is. I've been feeling like really good lately, you know. And I actually haven't even had the opportunity to tell you this yet. I don't think, at least it's everything blends together, but I'll go ahead and say it. Nobody else really knows. You can decide if you want to cut this out or not, whatever, but that girl that I was talking to, you know, and we'd been seeing each other for like a month or whatever. The other night out of nowhere, she was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. And I was like, why? And she was like, well, I'm just really struggling to get over with the fact that you're younger than me. And I was like, I'm only 2 years younger than you. And she was like, yeah, I'm just really struggling with it, though. Now, Ty, this same girl, the first time she brought me over to her apartment, she was like, hey, I want to take you up to my room and show you my kitty. And I was like, well, hell yeah, that's awesome. I would love to see your kitty. I mean, it doesn't really matter which one I'm seeing. And sits me down on the bed, goes over to her dresser, and takes this little jar off her dresser that has a literal cat fetus in it. Like a kitten fetus. It looks like an alien, but it's a cat just in a jar on her dresser. And his name was Cassandra. And I was like, oh, that's been watching us the whole time? And she was like, yeah. And my whole point in saying this is I was like, I mean, I got over that pretty quick. I got over that pretty quick, that she had a dead cat fetus on her dresser. And she couldn't get over 2 year age cat.
What?
I can't. I'm still trying to figure out the dead cat fetus. That would have been my red flag. I would have been like, you know what? I actually got to go to work early in the morning tomorrow. So I'm going to just go.
Yeah, I definitely had that thought, but you know, I mean, you know me, I'm a weirdo. I was like, I'll ride this out.
Are you sad about it?
I was. I definitely was. I had a big crush on this girl. Definitely felt pretty hard for her, which I haven't had happen in like over 2 years. So
and I keep telling you, man, you're young, bro. Just, you know, just be young and flourish. You don't got to be tied down with nobody.
Right.
If I do my 20s all over again, it would just be get bread, travel, and not be with nobody. I would go on dates, but I for sure wouldn't be with nobody.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
You don't want to. 20s, it's just times to just figure out who you are, figure out what you like, what you don't like. You know, get your credit up and your money up. So then in your 30s, you're not doing that, so you can flourish.
Yes. Yes. So
that's what I would do.
Which I'm always keeping that in mind. And I did it like one. It took me one night where one night I really had to feel it out. I was really upset. But after that, everything kind of like everything made sense. Well, I'm not reflecting on it too long.
You better than me, because I know, like, you know, once the numbers save, all your stuff gets into their algorithm. So I would be posting hella body pics. That's just me. But, you know, I used to do that in my 20s.
She doesn't have any social media.
Okay, I'm gonna let you. I actually saw her.
You did?
Yeah, this sounds real creepy, but I'll just tell you. I actually saw her Facebook.
Oh, Christina on there?
Yeah. I mean, you didn't have to say her name. God dang. Like,
your name. I'll say your name.
Well, you didn't have to say that. Okay, but yeah, I seen her.
You gotta bleep that, right? You mean.
Or hey, there's a guy's named Christina. I don't know.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, can. I mean, you could do better.
Come on,
don't say that.
What is your type? Because I feel like you're like my little sister. I don't feel like my little sister got a type. Like she.
I don't
just
got
date.
No type, bro. I don't got a type.
Yeah, you need to have like. You just be all over the place. I'll be like, all right. I could see you literally with a fine, bronze skin Italian woman that can cook. That's really what I can see you with.
I can too. Yeah, I just got to go over to Italy.
You ever been to the Italian Fest down here?
No.
Oh, man, you got to go. I've never been either, but you got to go.
Find a wife.
I think it's in the fall, and it may be in the summertime too, but I know for sure it's in the fall, like September, October.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought that at the beginning when you said what he's eating is not a reflection of who he's dating. It made me laugh so hard because of everything that had just happened. And I don't even know if you know what I'm eating right now, but I'm eating like Asian food and she was Asian. So it's like.
Yeah, I've seen the chopsticks.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen the chopsticks. I've gotten better at eating with chopsticks. It's insane. I'm very proud of myself.
Hell yeah. I think chopsticks, I mean, I love chopsticks. I think they're better than the other utensils that we use. I'm really good with chopsticks. I've been eating with chopsticks since I was like 7.
Oh, okay. Well, excuse me. So you're good at fingering? So
yeah, I'm really good at fingering.
first time I fingered a girl, I was like 9 years old on the school bus.
Shut up.
I'm
That makes I've never
said this before. First time I fingered a girl, I think I was like 9. I was on a school bus at this sports camp, and this girl was sitting next to me. She was a hoe. And she took, I ain't gonna say her name, but she took and she grabbed my hand and she just put it like right between her legs. And I was like, What am I supposed to do? And then she took and put my fingers inside her shorts. And I was like, oh, she must want me to put my fingers. I don't know why. I don't think she put my fingers in there, but I'm like, I think she wanted me to put my fingers in there. So I only put my pinky in there. I didn't know what I was doing at all. I was going to put my pinky in there. And like ever since then, this girl has not liked me. We went to high school together. She would swear up and down I was gay. Like I remember one time she chastised me and she was like, we was in class and she was like, just tell me you're gay. I know you're gay. And I'm like, I don't know. And I don't know why you want me to be so bad. And still to this day, I feel like she still think that and she don't like me. And I'll see her and we don't speak. She's everybody's favorite hoe though. They say she got good coochie. But I don't know if that's why she don't like me or not. But I ain't done nothing to her. But
it's because of that pinky.
It's the pinky, man. It's the pinky.
She's like, he's gay because of that pinky.
I had no idea what to do. It was my first time fingering somebody. I didn't know.
But you were 9.
I was freaking 9. If you think
how
about
old was
it,
she? 9?
Yes. And if you think about it, how do you know to get fingered at 9? Or it was either 9 or 11. It was somewhere in there. It's like,
that's what I'm saying. I didn't know you could be a slut at 9.
And why are we doing this on the bus? Like on the bus, though? why everybody's on here. But about 5 years passed, and then I had a girlfriend on that same bus, and I was the finger and king, bro. I was knuckles was deep in there.
What are you talking about right now? What the hell are you talking about right now?
Oh, man.
It makes a lot of sense, though. It makes a lot of sense that you are so horny.
Yeah, man.
Because
no, that wasn't my fault. I didn't ask for that.
Because you touched coochie at 9. No, but even if you didn't ask for it, you touched coochie at 9, so now you're just automatically going to be a hornball forever.
I didn't even ask for that, bro.
She cursed you like a witch. That was a witch's spell she put on you.
Nah, she is a witch. I can't stand that. Yeah, I can't stand. Well, I just don't understand the disdain for me so much. Like, I seen her, like, during COVID at Franklin Park, and I ain't speak to her. And then when we used to have open mics downtown at a... what's that place called? The little music hall at fuck. What's that place called on High Street? The little music place.
Oh, Scully's.
Yeah, I was walking down, and she was walking with another girl we went to high school with, and I think I was walking with Neff, and they had looked at me, and then they turn. You know how girls look at you, and they turn around, and do that little giggling thing. I'm like, if you still hate me, dang, bro. I was 9. I was freaking 9, bro. That's crazy. So,
like, that boy touched my pussy with his pinky back when I was 9.
Bruh. You know how crazy that sounds?
That sounds crazy as hell, actually.
Super crazy. That's why I don't want no daughters. For real. I knew what I was doing at 9. All right, yeah, man.
I was what was I doing at 9? I was fucking... Not that, that's for sure. What grade is 9? What grade is 9? Is that third grade?
Like 4th or 3rd grade, depending on where your birthday's at.
3rd or 4th. Yeah, so I was like just starting to kiss girls in 3rd grade.
Oh man, I think I might have been kissing girls in the 1st grade.
I did. I kissed a girl in 1st grade too, but I had multiple girlfriends in 3rd grade.
I kissed five girls, and I paid them $1 to all be my girlfriend. They all gave me kisses.
Dang, you were already prostituting. That's crazy.
For a nickel. For a freaking nickel on a dirt. That's why I don't want no daughter.
Practice makes perfect. Down. Ain't that right? Ain't that right?
I know it'd be going down in elementary school, bro.
I was getting it for the free, bro. For the free.
That's funny. Josh, man, you're in here. Comedians in Bed. Welcome back, man. So I think the first time I met you might have been at one of these Funny Bones. I'm not sure if it's competition or the one in Toledo. I know I wasn't the one in Toledo, but the one in Toledo is where we kind of like connected. You stopped me on my way out. I was like, hey man, this is a great set. Why did you want to work at the Funny Bone? And did you hear about them now having the Funny Bone in Cleveland?
Okay. So first question was, why did I want to work at the Funny Bone? Well, so you're just referencing like in general, because I worked at the Toledo one and the Columbus one. Yeah. So I started at the Toledo Funny Bone. I went to Bowling Green for college for a couple years. And I started at the Toledo Funny Bone just to like... You know, I've been listening to comedy, stand-up, podcasts for as long as I can remember, really. And, you know, on all those podcasts, like, they'll talk about stand-up and like, what it's like at the lower levels and open mics and stuff. But I just had no idea how to even get my foot in the door, like, get my foot in the scene. It just seemed obvious to me to go to one of the major clubs and, you know, working there. Cause in my head, I was like, working there might bring some opportunities, which it does, you know. Any comics listening that are, you know, on the way up, if you want club stage time while you're still pretty new in comedy, it's not a bad idea at all to start working at the comedy club, even as just a part-time door guy or whatever. Now, it's different club by club. The Toledo Funny Bone is very supportive of their door guys and their door guys getting stage time if the opportunity presents itself.
I'm gonna stop you right there. Did they just buy it out because it just popped up? I know they say formerly the Improv, but how did that happen?
You're talking about Toledo or Cleveland?
My fault, Cleveland. I thought you said Cleveland. My fault.
No, I'm still on Toledo. I'm getting to Cleveland in a second. So, all right. So yeah, Toledo's very supportive like that. I'm actually doing a guest spot there tomorrow with Simon. Now the Columbus Funny Bone is the headquarters for the Funny Bone. That's why I still work there. I'm actually going there tonight. And they are like, you know, I'm not going to talk trash about Leb at all. Leb, the general manager, is a fantastic general manager. He does a great job. I just am always like trying to tell him to involve the local comedy scene more. And it's just really tough that we do have the open mics there now and they're doing like showcases. I don't know about the competition this year. I think it's going to happen. But it's been great though, working there. Cause it also just keeps you around comedy. And you just get, like working at a club definitely taught me, you know, the ins and outs of a club and how to like communicate with club managers, how to communicate with comics, how to communicate with the staff at a club and whatnot. And also just like how to get booked. So now the Cleveland Funny Bone. So to my knowledge, that used to be the Cleveland Improv, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's becoming the Cleveland Funny Bone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's great. I don't really know what else to say about it. I've never, I've never been to the Cleveland Improv.
Right.
But I have been to the Dayton Funny Bone, the Toledo Funny Bone, the Columbus Funny Bone, and the Liberty Funny Bone. And the Funny Bone franchise is a great franchise as for like when it comes to comedy clubs. So especially the ones in Ohio, Toledo, Columbus, Dayton, and Liberty are all great funny bones. Every single one. Even Toledo. I mean, it's a little, you know, but even Toledo is a great one. In my opinion, they've got a great staff there and the general manager, Nadia, is great, even though she's
I think I performed at every one except now the one in Cleveland and the one in Dayton. The one in Toledo and Liberty, aka Cincinnati, are very similar. The stages are very small, so I don't really move too much when I'm on that one. When I'm on those ones for real.
Well, the Liberty one has a pretty big stage. Dayton and Toledo don't have smaller stages. Like the Toledo stage is tiny, as you remember. Now, like the Liberty one, I would say is somewhere between the size of, like it's in between Toledo's stage and our stage, the Columbus one. It's about like halfway between that. And then the Dayton one is probably like a size smaller than that. But that's also probably like the sizes of the club. Columbus has a really big club. Liberty has a decent sized club, then Dayton's is pretty small and Toledo's is very small.
You look like a villain with your cat on your shoulder.
Yep, that's my boy.
Straight villain. So what benefits have you seen from working at the Funny Bone? What do you learn, or do you just go there to get a check, or are you paying attention? Like, how do you try to work on your craft while on the clock there as well?
So recently I've been fortunate enough to where I'm not just like on their schedule all the time. When I first started working there, for like the first 8 months I worked there, I was a full-time employee. But then like for like the last 8 months, I've just been a part-time employee and I can just, I literally just pick up shifts whenever I want. Which is either to get a bag because I need money. Or like, I just really like the comic that's there. So I get to like study, like you just said, watch a free show, which whenever I'm watching comedy, unless I'm just like high out of my mind, just like super high, I'm always studying, always studying. But that's why I like to get really high sometimes when I watch comedy, just so I can sit back and enjoy it. Because I tend to like just analyze too much.
Yeah.
But tonight is Ryan Long, and Ryan Long is a New York comedian who I found like 2 years ago. I haven't really become like that big of a fan of his, but he definitely like got my attention and I'm interested in him. So that's why I picked up tonight so I can go watch him.
Okay.
So I'm gonna work security and then just.
You get a security jacket and a flashlight?
No.
Oh, dang.
Bing bong. No.
Okay, cool. Working at the Funny Bone. Yeah, that's all right. So we got that out the way, right? So now I will just take this time to profess my love for you. I don't even know. Hold on. 'Cause you sent me, I was looking at it the other day. I hate when people send me where they're going to be at. It's like, just, oh, girl.
So for anybody that doesn't know, Ty and I are like absolutely homies till we die.
Yes. So the last, I don't even, did I come up to you and say something to you? Because we started like, our relationship got close in July, maybe even before then. I don't remember, like, if I came up to you and said something to you.
So, I, to my knowledge, we got closer. We, like, knew each other. We would joke around occasionally for a few months, but we got closer at Fives.
Yeah.
Just hanging out at Fives.
I don't remember it that way.
I might care.
I remember it.
How do you remember? Or no, it was Cafe. It was at Cafe.
Yes, but I think even before then, though.
Okay.
So I remember at Cafe, he was acting weird. Like, I want to hang out with you, but I don't know how to say it. Like, just say it. Like,
all right, well, you didn't have to put that out there. You didn't have to let the world know that I said that.
But I think it was before that. But all I know is my first memory is, like, he's at the Toledo Funny Bone. I don't even know if I knew he was going to be there. I don't even know if I really realized
who I texted were. I texted you and said that I was going to be there because I saw you put on your story.
We didn't have each other's number back then, I don't think.
I, like, DM'd you.
Yeah.
Like, responded to your story.
And that was the first time I, like, actually, I think, paid attention to you.
Because I think I asked you if you wanted to carpool up, and you said that you didn't really, like, do that. But it's just because you didn't know me.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I could hear myself saying that. But I probably, it's probably because I had something else to do. I don't think, I can see myself saying, because I don't know you like that, but I can also see me saying like.
No,
probably,
you didn't say that. I know that now. I know that's why you didn't do that. I know you said no because you didn't really know me now. But back then you just said, I don't really carpool.
Yeah. So then I saw your set. I think that was the first time I really paid attention to you. I was like, okay, this guy. It's hilarious, and I think you had a lot of family and friends there. And then
at a handful.
And after that, we just started to get closer and closer. And I feel like it's not too many people I'm that close with doing comedy. As you know, I've been getting better at like networking and talking to people and everything that sort of nature. But I would say. I would say our relationship is probably one of the most genuines that I feel like everybody I'm close with in comedy, it's a genuine relationship, but it's been very beneficial to me to, I guess, understand comics or want to get to know comics or whatever. but it's just been a genuine friendship that has helped my comedy grow. So I guess my question would be, because I didn't really plan on having a question for that. I just wanted to put that out there. But I guess my question would be, how important is friendship in comedy? Because, you know, sometimes you meet comics and you'd be like, okay, this guy's a serial killer. Maybe we shouldn't be friends.
I could name five right now. You know what? Let me do that. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so to reciprocate. Yeah, I definitely very cherish your friendship as well. Even outside of comedy, you and I. So first and foremost, Ty is my main comedy mentor. Pretty much anytime I have an idea for anything, I'm sending it his way. And I don't know what it is. You know, Ty and I go to church together, and we were at church a couple weeks ago with his mom and sister, and his sister kept saying how Ty and I just really bounce off of each other. We're just always messing around and always laughing. And that's just obviously great to have in comedy, because we write really well together, which in my opinion is the main component. I mean, and you agree with that. We've talked about this, that we're writers first, and personally, I love writing with other people, but only other people that understand me and my sense of humor. And I think that you and I just really, you know, we really get each other's sense of humor, and we vibe a lot. And, you know, I don't think that that's necessary to have in stand-up, because stand-up is a lone wolf type thing. It's really just you up there on the stage. So if you're good enough, and if you're committed enough, and if you're hardworking enough, and you really don't need friends in comedy. You don't need them, but it's definitely beneficial. But you don't need them. It's something that you can just do entirely on your own, if you're just good at networking and all the other things.
I think our relationship keeps me accountable. I really wasn't trying to have writing partners that whole time where when they were doing the monthly shows at the main room in the Funny Bone. I would go to the workshop, but I definitely wasn't telling nobody my jokes. I'm like, I don't fuck with these niggas like that. I'm okay. But then I had someone on here, her name was Lauren, and she was talking about you need writing partners, it makes you stronger. So I was like, all right. So the first one I got was another guest I had on here, Dave Bradley, and he's from Chicago. We link up every week to go over jokes. But I definitely felt like I need someone here, and I did have someone, but
he got busy.
Yeah, let's just put it that way. And then once me and you started to write, it just kept me more accountable. But it kept me more accountable outside of comedy, just with everyday life. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's a missing component with comedians. I used to say this too, but then it slowly started to change. I'd be like, I don't do comedy all day, every day. But now I kind of do, you know, and it's just but you do need to do other stuff mm-hmm. in your life so that your comedy, you could talk about it in your comedy. And I just feel like our relationship, you kind of keep me accountable outside for sure. of comedy, which is a good thing.
I completely agree with that. And like I said, you don't need other people in comedy, but it absolutely helps 100%. Some of my favorite jokes that I have, some of my favorite tags in them are literally tags that you came up with. It makes it more fun. 'Cause also, you know, this is about to sound corny as hell, but I've always really cherished brotherhood growing up. I played sports my whole life growing up, you know, watched a lot of anime. And in both of those things, brotherhood and companionship is super important. So I don't know. I've just.
I don't think it's corny. I think it's very important because I feel like it allows you to have a full human experience. Meaning, like, you know, we have interaction with women and we try to figure out those relationships. But to be honest, as you get older, you know, if I was a date a woman, I wouldn't really want to date a woman who couldn't get along with other women. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So, and I feel like a lot of times guys, we develop probably like toxic relationships, you know, with each other and whatnot. But I don't feel like me and you have that.
Not even.
I think I told you, like, I didn't meet my brother until like 2017. And ever since me and him have met, I feel like we've both been on a trajectory of going up. But and it feels weird to say, like, I feel like my life is kind of complete now that I have my older brother. But I think me having my brother is also in some way, shape, or fashion helped me have better relationships with just men in general. Mm-hmm. And I think doing comedy has helped me have relationships with people who are, you know, not like me. I'm a theater kid, so I've you know, grew up with weird individuals, but I mean, comedy is the weirdest of the weirdest, and which is,
but like, I feel at home, and I know you do too.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. I wasn't. Now, this is just the times we live in, but I wasn't expecting to be around so many different sexuals. You know, you got demisexuals, you got bisexuals. It's so many sexuals, bro. I just, like, you be talking to people, you be like, you're what? Like,
and with how horny everybody is, they're telling you about it.
Yeah, like,
they're informing you on it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you didn't know about it before, you know about it now.
I asked Def and Peanut are the two that I ask the most questions about sexuality, because I'd be like, now what is this? Like, what do you, you know, but like,
and they're open to talk about it.
Yeah. And I think I was talking to somebody not too long ago. I feel like comedy is just like, if it wasn't for comedy, I wouldn't meet or talk to half the people that I talk to. It's a very diverse world, you know, very, very diverse world. So, but I say all in all to say that I am happy that we met, and I pray that our relationship continues to grow into a beautiful blossom flower.
I couldn't agree more. And like, the fortunate thing for us, because like we were talking about, is like having friends in comedy is nice, but also having friends outside of comedy. Well, you and I are friends in comedy and outside of comedy, which is like, I don't know. That's just great. Cause we just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I really know you, and there's a lot of comics in the scene that I'm friends with. Like, they're my friends. Anytime that I see them out and about, it's like, hey, what's up? How you doing? It's so good to see you. But then like in reality, I'm like, I really don't know them outside of comedy. I know such and such the comedian, but I don't know such and such the person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I actually know you as a person. There's only like a handful of other comics that I can say that for.
Yeah. So what's like your goals in comedy? Like, are you trying to do this full time? Like, what are you trying to do full time? Are you trying to travel internationally, just stay local? Like, what is your end goal with comedy? I guess basically, like, what's your end goal of comedy? But also, like, when will you know, like, you've made it in comedy? Because it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Okay, that's a great question. And it's a question that you get asked a lot as a new comedian. Because I feel like I've been asked that question probably 6 times in the last 2 weeks, just from like having conversations with people about it. When they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm trying to be a comedian. And they're like, what does that even mean? Like, so what I want to do with comedy, my goal with comedy is to be a nationally touring headliner. I don't really, you know, I'm sorry to all of your European listeners and your Asian listeners and your African listeners. And I don't plan on going international ever. So I'm sorry to all those people. Because, you know, I mean, I'm skipping ahead here, but I've never been interested in making a bunch of money off of stand-up. Never been interested in making a bunch of money off stand-up. I've only ever been interested in making enough money off stand-up to where I don't have to do my other jobs and I can focus more on stand-up. Because the days that I like feel like I really get to focus on my passion and stand-up are the days that I feel the most myself, where I get to wake up, you know, smoke a little joint, have some coffee, and then just write for 4 hours and then go do something else or whatever. Come back, listen to my clips, watch my clips, put stuff together, write some more, go out for the night in the scene, try it all out. Like, those days feel right. That feels right. So that's my end goal, is to become a nationally touring headliner and to just make enough money off of it, which is literally like as much as I'm making now annually. That is how much I want to make off stand up. I'm giving myself 10 years. So I don't think I'll stop doing stand up after 10 years, but if I'm not like at least a semi-professional comedian 10 years in, and I'm not like making enough money off of it to where it's like a legitimate like side hustle or whatever you want to call it, an supplementary income, as long as it's, if it's not a like legit, let's say five figures. If I'm not making five figures at least, and that just even just lower five figures, if I'm not making five figures 10 years in, then I'll probably still do it, but I'll just become, you know, like a local headliner or something, just do it occasionally. Because at that point, I always want to be involved in stand-up and comedy. I love it so much. Ever since I found it, I've always loved it. So if I can't become a nationally touring headliner, then my goal after that is to open a comedy club. As to where that'll be, I don't know. Probably Michigan or Columbus. But somewhere in Michigan or Columbus. But that those are my goals with stand up. So,
well, for him right now, you got one of the hottest shows that's everybody's been talking about in the city, the Garrison. How did you come up with the show? I've done the show. I actually like the show. Usually, when I do a show, I'll make a post the next day about it and talk about how good it is. I only do that if I feel like the show ran good, if it's good, if I feel like people, comics should strive to be on that show. You know, my experience with it was really, really good. I felt like, you know, sometimes like how you, I don't know if you experienced this yet, but sometimes like you do a show and it feels like official, it feels like legit, like you feel like somebody. That's what I did. That's how I felt when I did your show, just how you guys operated it. And
really?
Yeah. Like,
I don't think you've ever even told me that.
Nah, I haven't. It was like a, you know, you have like an actual green room, you're separate from everybody. It is within walking step. It is within 15 steps of the bathroom. Mm-hmm. But whatever. You know, and then,
and I know you remember the bathroom situation.
Yeah. And then you go a whole different
hallway
to go into the show. It's just real official and everything. How did you come up with the idea, and what's your end goal for this show?
Yeah, so, you know, no heat on any of the other shows in town at all. We've got some really cool shows here in town, but like the Garrison is probably the coolest venue. Like, it's such a cool spot. It's a barber shop in downtown off of 4th and Main, and they've got like all these different like collectible, like collector's items, antiques and stuff up throughout the shop. The first show, funny enough, I almost broke one of them trying to get pictures of the headliner. I was kneeling by the stage and I bumped into one of his pictures and it fell, And he was like, if that broke, that was like a 400. And I was like, oh my gosh, bro. But yeah, they've just got some really cool stuff in there. All of the, there's six barbers there. Let me see if I can get all their names. There's Justin, the owner, and Jamie, which is my barber. And that's how it all started between the two of them. I was getting my hair cut by Jamie. I went in there from a recommendation from someone else and getting my hair cut by Jamie. And Jamie was a comedy fan, and him and I were just talking about it. And I told him, like, you know, this place seems like it could absolutely be a show. It's such a cool, like, vibe in here, such a cool aesthetic. And I was talking to him about Don't Tell and about how, like, we could, like, try and do something similar to Don't Tell, but just, like, independent. And he pitched that to Justin, the owner. And, you know, Justin, like, at first was like, yeah, that's cool, whatever. But then the next time I came in for a haircut, he came up to me and was like, I've been thinking about it and I really like the idea. Let's do it. So it's been great. Justin is the man. Like, Justin is the man. He has been so easy to work with, and just, like, so helpful as well. Super fortunate to have been able to, like, partner up with somebody like that. Then there's the other barbers, which are also, they're all just such cool guys. Like, I recommend everybody go get their hair cut there. So there's Chris, Dakota, Kellis, and Ethan. Justin, Jamie, Chris, Kellis, Dakota, and Ethan. All those guys are great. Garrison Barbershop. Yeah. It's probably like the, like, most proud thing I have. And I'm not like a super proud person, but it's definitely like the thing I'm the most proud of that I've done since I started comedy. So.
Well, with less than 2 years in, what made you want to start producing shows?
So I'll go ahead and shout out my buddy, Carter Doherty. He used to live in Cincinnati, and he, like, that's where he, for the most part, started his stand-up journey. And in Cincinnati, he started this like comedy company, comedy club, whatever you want to call it, called River Monster Stand-Up. And they threw open mics and shows around town. And I was just, like, talking to him about it one night, about how, like, I loved that he did that. I thought it was a great idea. I wanted to get into it. And, like, I asked him, like, why? Like, the question that you just asked me, like, what made you want to do it? Why? And he told me that his main reason doing it was to have, like, it's a guaranteed show, you know? Like, if you're not getting booked, it's a guaranteed show. So even, you know, because, like, stand-up definitely moves in waves. You got, like, times of the year where you're really busy, or at least hopefully, you know. Hopefully. You've got times of the year where, like, some months you're really busy, you're getting booked. Other months are pretty slow. At the end of the day, with this show, I know for a fact that every 2 months I've got a very reliable show that I can test out material at. Cause I hardly ever just, like, I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I don't think I've ever done the same set at the Garrison from the four shows that we've done, or three shows. Yeah. Three. The fourth one is in 2 weeks. So from the three shows we've done, I don't think I've ever done the same material. I always like using the 10 minutes that I have to, like, try out the new stuff I've been working on the last 2 months. So, and then, go for it. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that this upcoming show is in, like, 10 days. And then
no, it's not.
What?
Because it's actually the show. Is I'm on it this week with you, because this episode comes out in April. So when this
okay, cool. Because that's what I was just gonna say. So right, we're recording this in February, 10 days from now. That shows. So by the time that this comes out, we'll have done four shows, and new material at the fourth show. And then at the fifth show with Ty, it'll also be new material. So yeah, in April, for when this drops, that show is going to be very exciting because we've got Ty, which is going to be his second time. He's going to be our first returning regular, I'm pretty sure. And then, so we've got Ty as a feature, Tony Wallace as a feature, Brian Harris as a feature, and then who am I missing? Oh yeah, and then the headliner, Mo. Mo's headlining.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about it. I'm trying to do a whole Fresh New 20. I don't know how.
Because you're the special feature.
Yeah.
You're the special feature. If you like Ty Erskine's comedy, which you should, first of all, this is like the time. And if you're around Columbus, this is the time to come see him. This is the time. It's a super intimate show, and he's doing 20 minutes. A little casual 20.
Yeah.
It's going to be easy, too. That's the thing, is that you're going to easily do 20.
Yeah. Like, 20's getting easier. I don't do too many 20 spots, but 20's getting easier. My jokes are getting longer for 20, so, which is, lets me know it's about time to just go ahead and amp it up. No, I'm really excited for it in the summertime because you haven't had it yet in the summertime. I think that's when it's really going to blossom, take off.
So in June, the guy I was just talking about, Carter Doherty, he's headlining the June show. And then August is our one-year anniversary, which in August, Columbus is having a comedy festival. And I'm hoping that comedy festival will allow the Garrison to be a part of the festival.
Yeah, they said something about, I'm so confused. So is it just comedy, improv, and sketch? Like, I heard something about they wanted podcasts to do a live show. Like, what all is going on with that?
I have no idea. All I know is that I want to be in at least one show on it, and I want the Garrison to be on it. That's all I know.
I have no intentions of applying to that show.
To like for the whole festival?
Yeah, I have no intentions of playing.
I don't see why not. That's all I'll say. I don't see why not.
I don't like participating in the first ever.
Like, yeah, you've told me that.
Yeah.
But you were on the first ever Garrison show.
This is true, but I liked you. I knew you. So I liked you.
So you trusted it.
I trusted you. But I don't. Yeah, if I don't know anybody about it.
Yeah, which I will say it's being run by non-comedians.
I don't trust it. I don't trust it. Well, I'm happy though. Let's just see how it go. And
well, the thing I'm confused about. I love how we're just talking about this on the pod right now. Man. The thing that I'm confused about is that I put in my submission like a few minutes after it opened up, and they're like, all right, it's 20% full. And I'm like, well, where's my email? You know,
they didn't give you like a confirmation email, like they received it. And that's why
am I even on it? Like,
that's why I don't do first. I let them figure
I'll
it out.
I'll just assume that I'm not because I don't have an email.
I don't do first. I let people figure it out. The kinks, and then once you figure out the kinks, because I know me, that's why I don't do it. It has nothing to do with them or anybody. I just know me. If it's not ran right, or if something isn't right the first time I experience it, I'm probably never gonna come back. So I just be like, all right, you figure it out first, then I'll be involved. But I'll gladly volunteer. I will gladly volunteer. Gladly volunteer. I planned on going to every show that they have, and I plan on volunteering, but I didn't plan on being involved in it. I really did. And I feel like they're trying to wee out some people because your submission tape has to be 8 to 10 minutes. And you know, everybody don't got 8 to 10 minutes.
Let's not even talk about it. Let's move
on. I see 8 to 10. I was like, oh, they trying to get some people. They trying to have some people not be in it. Okay. That's what's up. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
Like, that's what's up.
Doesn't even make sense. If you don't have to send a 10-minute clip to Don't Tell, why do you have to send it for the Columbus Comedy Festival? That's awesome.
Man, Columbus, we're better than New York. We're up there more than New York. We're You know what I would really want to do now that I say that? Now that I said the word New York, because I was thinking about the comedian Jess Hilarious, how she's like a radio personality now. And like, I feel like her career, I feel like honestly, she could be like the next, this is so random, but I feel like honestly, she could be the next Kevin Hart, just because as far as like money wise, because she's in New York. She has an industry there. People could see her. She don't really got to travel no more to do comedy. She could just stay in New York. And I would really want to do, because I used to do radio, but I would really want to do morning radio and be like the comedian on the morning radio show. But I don't know if I mean, I'm already get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if I want to keep doing that.
Yeah, but you're not going to stop.
You know?
It's so funny the amount of people, because that was the like main association between stand-ups and like another profession was like radio host. Mm-hmm. A lot of stand-ups did radio host or like ended up becoming radio host. And I've had a lot of people ask me like, so are you interested in becoming a radio host? And I'm not dissing it at all. That sounds cool. I don't know. Like, I would never want to like have my own show, but it would be fun to like guest host sometimes and stuff. But
yeah.
I just like always tell people like, you know, comics do it like a lot of other stuff now.
Yeah. No, that's important. I
could host a baking show or something. It doesn't have to be, you know, I could go host British Bake Off or something.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to say this before we get out of here. I am super proud of you because yesterday, you know, we had a conversation about you getting back to yourself, you know, and I feel like yesterday when you were on stage, and it might have happened even before then, and maybe I just didn't see it, but yesterday I feel like you were Josh Ozani again, and you were being yourself, and I love that because that's what made me fall madly in love with you, man, and I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to stop doing that. You know, this line of work could make you, it could change you, but I want you to keep being yourself. I'm going to always encourage you to do that. And yeah, I was very happy with what I've seen yesterday at the open mic. I was like, that's the Josh I know right there.
I appreciate that, bro. Yeah, because I'm not even going to lie, like even before you said that, like just the energy that you were giving me last night after my set is like, I felt in my heart, like, yeah, Ty thinks that I'm back to that. I could feel it. I could feel it. I could feel your feelings, feeling it. But yeah, no, I really appreciate that. I got to say like, yeah. I don't know. Don't sleep on Josh in 2020. I'm feeling, I don't know. I just, you know, it's hard to know what to tell the podcast. It's like hard to know how far to go into it, but I guess I'll just go ahead and say it, you know, maybe people are curious. For like, a couple months ago, I stepped away from comedy for a while because I just had like 4 months straight of just like not really having much success in it. And it looked like I was having success. Everybody thought I was having success because I had like my month of October was the busiest month I've had in stand up in general because I was doing shows every weekend. But I wasn't developing. I wasn't growing as a comedian. In fact, I felt like I was regressing. And so I stepped away because I felt like I was developing some bad habits, whatever. And that's like what Ty's saying with, you know, not being myself. I definitely wasn't myself, and I was like becoming a shell and a shadow of the comedian that I should be. So I stepped away and I reassessed everything and realigned all that. And it's feeling right. It's feeling good. Things are clicking. And I definitely have you to thank for that partially. Definitely have you to thank for that partially. Like, you've definitely helped me.
I think it's just because I was like, I've been there. Year two, you know, I've been there. I mean, year probably two through three for me was like very anxious and just confused. Like, why am I not getting booked, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, once I started the podcast and I figured it all out on my own and, you know, brought people on here and asked certain questions, like, my success, I contributed to the podcast. I mean, obviously, you have to write the jokes, put in the time on at the mics, but definitely it came from the podcast, just having different people on here drop knowledge. That's why I don't understand why people don't watch the second most popular podcast in Columbus comedy, Comedians in Bed. Like, we're doing great things. And if you're feeling stagnant, if you want to your career to grow, you should be listening to the second best podcast in Columbus comedy, which is Comedians in Bed. It will bless you. It's not the first, but it's second, and it's the best. So we don't even know. We didn't hear about the first. We didn't hear about it until until the day of. We didn't hear about it.
And you know, maybe that one is the best.
That's how good it is.
But it's not going to bless you like this podcast.
Oh, it's not. It's not. You know, we have Roy Woods Jr. on this podcast. A lot of people just don't know, but he's going to be on the podcast.
You know, I didn't know. I didn't even know that. That's dope.
Yeah.
I saw you had Damon Williams on it.
First of all, I didn't even know a lot of people knew who Damon was. Like, yeah. Everybody kept coming up to me and I'm like, how do y'all know him? I only know him because I used to listen to the Tom Joyner Morning Show on a radio station, a little radio show every morning. And he would, at first it was Dominique, this comedian called Dominique. She was on it. And then when she wasn't on it anymore or when she couldn't be on it, Damon would fill in. And that was my favorite part of the show because they would just have me on there cracking up. Like, so, yeah. And then everybody just kept coming to me like, you had Damon on there. You had that, you know, but.
No, Damon is very funny. I didn't know who he was till last year when a comic had to cancel their show at the Funny Bone. And he like filled in that weekend and headlined three shows that weekend and killed it. Killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. If I would have been paying attention, I would have asked him if I get a guest spot this weekend since he's going to be in Cleveland. But he's going to be here in March in Dayton, so I'm going to ask him if I can get a guest spot, but I'm definitely going to at least go to like try to see him. Dang, that is in March. Freak. Other than that, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, build those connections in Chicago so that we can get our foot in the door. Because, you know, he doesn't own it, but he's kind of like the GM or at least the booking person that at this club called Riddles out of Chicago.
So, Damon?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, I'm so excited to get over to Chicago. I'm so like, Can't wait. That's something we'll talk about more off the pod, but we got to plan a trip together.
Yeah. Josh always asks people on here, man, who is on your Mount Rushmore for comedy?
So, and I listened to this podcast, so I knew that this question was coming. And I'll just give my current Mount Rushmore. Because for me, it's like as I find other comedians, stuff shifts around. As I build more of respect for different comedians, stuff shifts around. So I'll say this first name has been on my list ever since I've been a fan of stand-up, and he's stayed on there. Tom Segura is 100% on my Mount Rushmore of comedy. I relate to his like comedic stylings so much, and I'm not like him. Like a lot of days I wish I was as funny as him, and like the stuff that he does, I wish that I could do it like he does. But like with where I'm at, I don't know. I don't want to say I'm like a C plus Tom Segura, but it's just like him and I have a very similar sense of humor, except I'm just a lot more silly. He's very crass, very crude, very nasty. I'm like a step below that. So I don't know. I'm going into it way too much, like I always do, just going off on ridiculous tangents. But yes, I love Tom Segura. He's my favorite of all time. All right. Finally, let's move on to number two after 2 minutes of talking about Tom. See, like for a while, I had Dave Chappelle out of my Mount Rushmore. But I don't know, man. That last special that he put out, like, really hit me. That last special that Dave Chappelle put out really hit me. That was such a good special. Like, I respected the hell out of that special because it almost, watching it at home, I felt like it was just as funny at home as it would have been in person. And that's, like, very hard to do, to make it translate through the screen like that. Because I was, laughing so hard, man, at that special. And I was just very impressed with the different like ways that he utilized his funniness and the different ways that he utilized the stage and the audience. And he's just, you know, he's got a lot up his sleeve. Same with Tom. So we got Tom and Dave Chappelle. I really like Joe List, and that was the other episode that I was on for this podcast, was us talking about Joe List, and it felt so wrong because we were talking about how much we didn't like his special. Because
I think he might be doing another one. I mean, he's in the Netflix Not a Joke thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got a sense he's probably doing another one.
Yeah, but his special, this year's material, and the one he did for Comedy Central, but this year's material is such a good special. But I've also seen Joe live, and Joe's very funny. He's such a good joke writer. He's very, like, the comics that I really fall in love with are the comics that really utilize their funny. Like they know how to tap into their comedic potential. So I'll say Joe. And this is all people that I've seen live too. Like, it's hard for me to put someone on my Rushmore that I haven't seen live. It's hard. Shit, dude. The fourth one.
I don't think anyone's ever taken this long to just name four people.
I'm sorry. It's just the like the Rushmore. All right, I'm gonna be honest. I took an edible like 30 minutes ago. So it's hitting right now. But the Mount Rushmore, like, I don't know. I just have such reverence for comedy that this question is always way harder for me than it should be. So I'll just say Chris Rock.
Okay. Yeah. Dang, I got no Chris.
No. I'm gonna go Aziz Ansari.
As who?
Aziz Ansari.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he'll be my fourth. Okay. Aziz. He's like the sleeper. To me, he's not the greatest of all time, but he's like one of the greatest of all time, and he's like an absolute sleeper in that category. Because a lot of people overlook him, but I think he's hilarious.
What's some words of encouragement or motivation that you can give to any comedian that is listening to this right now?
Man, just stop. it's not worth. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Just keep going. Like, I don't know. It helps to have friends like Ty and stuff that'll set a fire under your butt. But you just gotta keep going. Just keep working at it. You know, keep writing, write and write and write and write. And even if you sit down and you're thinking about things to write, you're like, I just can't think of anything funny to write. Write still. Write something. Write about something. Look out your window and just like write about how there's too much trash on my sidewalk. You know, like write about anything. And network. When you're new, because the question was for new comics, right? When you're new to comedy, I mean, and I am still new to comedy. I'm giving you advice from being like in it. I'm still very new. Especially when you're new to comedy, but it's still even important down the road. But especially when you're new, I feel like writing and networking are so important, like probably the most important thing. And then thirdly is performing. But like
message.
And on that note, you guys have a great day.
Josh, tell people why they should listen to Comedians in Bed.
Because Ty motherfucking Erskine is the host of it. And first of all, he's one of the funniest people that I know. And that's real. Like, he's already tapping into that comedic potential that he has. But once he's like leveled up, like gone basically the Dragon Ball Z equivalent of Super Saiyan. Once Ty is Super Ty, you know, like it's nothing's gonna be able to stop that. He's so just raw funny. And I've listened to a lot of episodes for this podcast. That's real. Listen to the Mo Hill one, the Henry Allen one, the Adam Little one, Kenny Mock one, to name a few. And they're all very informational as well. Like, especially if you're a comedy fan, if you're thinking about trying it out, keep listening to this podcast because you'll definitely learn a thing or two. So,
and joke's on you, if you come to the show, I'm funnier off stage.
He is, actually. He is.
Yeah, we're working on that. Josh, where can people find you at?
You can find me at First Watch off of Sawmill in Dublin. and besides that... Yeah, but, you know, you can find me... I'm not even going to plug my Facebook. I hardly use it. So you can just find me on Instagram at Josho Comedy, like, right, like if you're watching, that's in the bottom left there. Josho Comedy spelled JOSHOCOMEDY. Josho Comedy.
And if you feel like we're not enough of a man for you, your coochie's just dry. Make sure you check us out on next week on Comedians in Bed on my YouTube
message.
Channel. We go live every Tuesday at 11 a.m.
message
Eastern Standard Time, and then we go live at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Or if you want to see weekly clips, you can follow us on IG at Comedians in Bed Podcast. You can listen to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow Josh Osani on everything social. Check out his show, The Garrison, which will be this Friday. I'll be there. Me and a whole bunch of other funny people in the city will be there. So make sure you are there as well. It's a good venue. It's a good time. And then we will see you. Josh, I want to say thank you again for joining the show again. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.